Hey, I'm ready for it.
Hey, what's going on, man? This is your man, Mo, with a message. And of course, this is Can I Listen? And yes, you can. I want to say what's up to all of my star listeners out there and everybody that is a part of the Can I Listen Nation, man. We out here in San Antonio on the outside doing it real big. And man, I brought a special guest, man. My man, Travarius Walker, one of those progressive realtors that's trying to corner the game, not Monopoly, but he's trying to do his vertical, you know what I'm saying, do his vertical game, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to this whole industry. And introduce yourself, man. What's up, baby?
What's up?
We here.
Yeah, we are. What's
you know
up,
what I'm
everybody?
Saying? We've been trying to do this for a minute.
Yep.
For
some
a hot
months.
Minute. Yeah, yeah.
Some months.
Yeah, it was a good idea at first. And now it's real, you know
hey,
what I'm saying?
Got to see it through, my boy.
Yeah, got to see it through, you know what I'm saying? So check this out, man. First off, how did your week go, man? Like, how everything went down this week, man?
Man, so far.
Because you're doing big business. You had a business meeting last night.
Oh, of course. Look, business doesn't stop. So the week has been good on the business side.
Right.
But, man, you try to take things in life so much further, you know. So it's not just life, but business, relationships,
yeah,
friends, family, trying to find the ways to squeeze everything in,
yeah,
but organically.
I feel you.
So that's a learning curve for sure right now.
Yeah.
But I definitely can't complain making it happen for sure.
Yeah.
Just trying to love on everybody around me, and business is booming. Business is great.
business is great man.
What a time.
Yeah,
what
man,
time, what
time to
especially
be alive
in this city.
Yeah.
You know, San Antonio.
This place is growing tremendously right now.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Number one in the nation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tremendously, man. So basically, you got this business going on. You're saying you're trying to improve and, you know, love on people and stuff like that. Where does this come from? Where's the source of that? Like,
oh,
why are you? Yeah, huh?
It's all God.
Okay. So you a man of the cloth.
No, most definitely. Most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? So, all right, cool. So what do you do business-wise?
So I'm a realtor. I'm a licensed realtor here in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
But I specialize in rentals, investments. But, I mean, the game of real estate is, there's so many avenues, so many things you can do with it. For instance, I'm in the middle of a couple commercial deals right now.
Right.
As well as residential.
Got it.
You know, I have my own portfolio.
Are those two different worlds, bro? Are they
yes.
kind of same path? Or is it, so
nah,
what separates them? Is it the laws, the taxes? What is it?
Really everything. Just going about. Okay, so we look around. For those of you who are tuning in, if you don't know, we are in the Pearl right now here in San Antonio. This is commercial. You know?
True.
If you look at these buildings, you can see on the first floor, there's restaurants, there's schools out here. All this is brick and mortar. All this is real estate.
Yeah.
It's multi-use. Because on the upper levels, you have apartments, you have condos, you have so many things out here. You know, this is livable space as well as transactional.
Right.
Right. So you have businesses that are being very transactional, and then you have residential up top. So this...
That's
commercial.
That combo package,
yeah,
right there.
Right, multi-use property.
Yes, that's the best way to have it.
Yeah, seriously. So
best way.
The difference is between there's this, right, which is a whole nother ball game. Then you have residential. You know, your individual or your family, you know, they want somewhere to live. They
yeah.
want to own a house, a home, or condo, townhouse, cottage, whatever it may be.
Right.
That's residential. Completely different. You know, they're not looking to run a business with what they own, you know, they're
yeah.
I just want somewhere to lay my head. I want somewhere to raise my family.
Exactly.
And that's that. So that's residential. And then the other side, I mean, it's two completely different worlds, you know.
Right.
So if you can learn them both and do them both well,
you good.
You're good.
Business gonna be booming.
Yeah, most definitely. You wanna if you can do either or, you know, but if you can do them both, man.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, man. So I know that in Houston, man, their zoning is like you can do anything anywhere, right? Are there a lot of restrictions in San Antonio as far as like, say, for instance, if I want to do a setup where it's like, okay, it was commercial, I want to turn it to commercial and residential, is you have to start from the ground up and get zoned first the right way. You know what I mean?
You have to go through permitting.
Okay.
The city is what pushes permits. So if you have a strip of land, you can't just build whatever you want on it.
Exactly.
You know, especially if it's within the city. Anyway.
But that's how it is in Houston, though. You can build whatever you want.
Yeah, so Houston's a little bit more, it's before us, you know, like
right.
San Antonio is old for a reason.
Gotcha.
You know, there's been so much pushback. If you look at our skyline compared to any other major city here in Texas,
mm-hmm.
you'll easily notice the difference.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason. You know, San Antonio's historic.
Got you. So that's our staple, so they want to stay that way.
Yeah, but I mean,
and keep that cloth.
You ain't got no choice no more, though. Things are definitely changing.
Yeah, it's changing
fast. You look at our skyline now, you're seeing
SunTrust is the beginning of that.
Being built, you know, like this is the pearl. We had I think it was $160 million development that was going on. I believe they pumped the brakes on it. It's been going on for a few years now, but they've been extending this Pearl towards the east side.
Oh, they finna make another one, or are they
extending it?
So oh, wow.
If you go to the east side now, we have our own arts district, which people don't really know about.
Yeah.
The locals, people visiting, and you know, if you come to San Antonio.
Is that where the truck's at? Or is it where the container office is gonna be?
You got stuff everywhere, man.
See?
Yeah. So it's the east side is basically east of downtown.
Yeah.
You know?
Dinwiddie area.
Dignality, Denver. Yeah, Jefferson,
yeah,
all that over there, by the AT&T Center, pretty much. That's the east side of San Antonio. So,
got it.
This where we are now has been extending. Like, if you look at Broadway, that Credit Human Bank,
yeah,
you know, all that's new.
Yeah,
and on the backside of that,
but still looks rustic in Texas. It still looks
mm-hmm.
historic.
Mm-hmm. So and we're getting more of our contemporary builds, but for the most part, yeah, man, like. San Antonio, it's a place to be at right now, for
yeah.
sure, and for the long term as well. Not just right now, but for the years to come. I mean, 10 years from now, this Texas in general is booming.
It's, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so.
Man, it's on some gold rush
yeah,
type stuff. To be honest with you,
we saw what happened in Austin last year. Now Austin, most people say is unaffordable. Well, the people who could afford Austin back when, you know, a year ago, where they going now?
Yeah. They come to San Antonio.
Coming to San Antonio.
So now, we got an understanding of some of the things that you do, right? I want this is the richest part of this all. You know what I'm saying? The rich part of this all is when you get to see where a person is coming from, how that's preparing them from where they're going.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So you were in the medical industry.
Right.
Correct? So what part of the medical industry you was in?
I was a psychiatrist assistant.
Psychiatrist assistant.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. So what, in this moment, you know, like you coming out of college,
mm-hmm.
you know, no, first off, where are you from originally?
Originally, so parents military.
Military, so you,
right.
Oh, no wonder you missed the Mr. Multi-Level. I'm just letting y'all know our military brats are outstanding out here. They running things, you feel me? So, all right, so military brat, what branch?
My dad was Army.
Dad was Army. Was mom in the mill?
Yep.
So she was supporting,
mm-hmm.
making sure y'all move. Man, PCS.
My mom was medical, though.
Mom was medical.
Yeah.
Got it.
Man, she breathed that down our throats. That's why I went that route, man. Like, it's guaranteed, you know? And in so many ways, it's true.
Right, right.
You know?
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things. That's one of the reasons why I'm in the industry that I'm in with, you know, renting out to
mm-hmm.
nurses.
Mm-hmm.
So, travel nurses specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so now we got a dad that's military. We got a mom that's medical. Is she a nurse or she?
So my mom actually has her own agency.
That's dope.
Home health agency.
Wow.
And hospice as well.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing that.
Yeah.
So you seeing both sides of this.
Yeah.
So what was it like, you know what I'm saying, just to rewind a little bit more, what was it like picking up and moving, and how many places did you move to?
So my brothers, I got two older siblings. Just in hindsight, they were born in Alaska.
Oh, Anchorage. Wow. Where you was born at?
I was born here.
Fort Sam. Okay. So you homegrown.
Yeah, I'm homegrown.
Yeah, yeah.
Moved around a little bit, but for the most part, stayed in San Antonio.
Okay.
You know, this San Antonio holds something dear to me. You know, yeah. That's what, I mean, I grew up here, so it makes sense that as a professional, the things I can do, why not promote and grow San Antonio?
Right, exactly.
I grew up. I want to see things be better here, you know, in my neighborhood. So,
and that makes a lot of sense, like why you involved with the things that you involved in, and why you networking and trying to get people educated and things of that nature. It's opening my eyes. Mm. So, all right. So now, y'all been stationed in Alaska. Y'all been stationed here. This is where he retired at.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. So,
my parents are originally from Florida.
Oh, they Florida,
yeah,
Florida
Floridians.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What part?
Miami and Tallahassee.
Oh Lord, not Tallahassee, not the 805,
man. That's no. home of FAMU.
Yeah, 850. That's what it is. 850.
Florida
yeah.
State.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. That's a good place, man. Good place. I love Florida. So now I'm gonna fast forward back to, you know, you and y'all travel around the world. You getting all these experiences. How in the world did everything, from when you look back and reflect on things, right, and you see like where you are right now, how does that help you with what you're doing now, like moving around and networking and, you know what I'm saying, being with different types of diverse communities? Mm-hmm. Like, how does that benefit you, and how does it benefit others right now?
The exposure. Mm. I was exposed to a lot of different things.
Got it.
Not just one community. So I've been able to see within different communities how things work, how
right.
support works, how to push each other.
When you say support, what you mean?
So you have certain family dynamics, right? If you look at one family that's grew up in Europe, and then you have a family that grew up in Africa, and then you got a family who, you know, that the kid grew up here in America, you can kind of see how the culture formed
okay,
the way that
got
they
you.
Do things.
Right.
So,
the, from the ground up.
Right.
Like, so, why it's moving the way it's moving.
Right. So here in America, man, a lot of people are going to hate me, but I think
we're
kind of spoiled.
Of course.
Very spoiled. A lot of us think we're old stuff.
Yeah.
And then if you have someone who comes from, you know, immigrant, they come here.
And run things.
They run things because they work hard.
Yeah.
You know, things were different from where they're from. They weren't promised things.
Right.
Right? And we think that because we're promised things, we're owed things. It's just... because
it's the promised land.
Right. We're
yeah.
It's just expected to happen. So there's no... I don't want to say Americans don't know hard work because, I mean, I'm American. I know hard work.
Right.
But
you had a foundation, and that household had to do a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm. I was exposed to
yeah,
some different things. And that's why traveling is so important as well. Even if you can travel just around the nation.
Right.
And if you can't travel, because not everybody can, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go out of your way to talk to people who don't look like you.
True.
You know? And
that goes past that. You got to pass your judgment.
Yeah.
You got to go past what you're judging.
You got to try to always educate yourself. And exposure to different things is the best education. Because
right.
I can tell you something all day, and I can lead the horse to water, but the horse may not drink the water, you know?
That's true.
But if you starve the horse is going to drink.
Yeah.
So I think about my little brother with that, man. Like, my brother has all this ambition and stuff, but the hard work, he's young. And he's learning it for sure.
Right.
He does work hard, but the way he works is for certain things. You
right.
know? He's
is it exterior? Is extrinsic?
Sports.
Okay.
He chases sports hard.
Oh,
and,
gotcha,
and
gotcha,
he
gotcha.
Can do it for sure.
Yeah.
But don't. For me, it's like, hey, don't rely on that completely. Like
exactly.
You know, go explore something else. You've been exploring sports.
Yeah.
Forever. There's a lot of other stuff you need to explore too.
Yeah.
I mean, don't give up on your dream at all, but. Explore.
That's what's up.
You got to be an explorer.
For sure.
And that's just how I feel about life, bro. And if I think the man I am today is because of the relationships that I've been able to grasp and hold on to.
Right.
And be able to bring those relationships value.
Mm.
And I feel like everything is, in hindsight, transactional. In one way or another, you know.
Right.
not to be like, I feel like that has a negative connotation on it.
No, somebody, everybody got something to give.
Yeah.
So if somebody's, if you're receiving something that somebody's giving and you got something to give and they receiving what you're giving, that's an exchange.
Yeah. Just be a giver. I always focus on being a giver and not a taker.
Right.
And the more you give, I mean, it's a blessing to be able to give. So
it's a difference.
If God blesses me with something, he gave me something, I need to be able to give that to the
next. Yes. Because it's a huge difference between being a taker and a receiver.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
That. Yeah.
It's a huge difference. And because, like, you know, it's like when you, I got an episode on this, right? You guys can go back and check it out. It's nice. I think it's called Nice Versus Kind. And, like, when a person is nice, they are giving you a mask so they can take something, right?
Yeah.
When a person is kind, there is no mask. They're giving, and whatever happens, just happens.
Yeah.
There's no expectations.
There's no expectations.
So a nice person that wanna expect something, and they're trying to get to something because it's something that they want to take or that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy that I had to change my mentality because I used to be a nice person.
Mm.
Meaning I would call people when I needed something.
Mm.
Not, yo, man, what's up?
Yeah.
How you living?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's nothing more refreshing than that, man. Just, let's just chop it up.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You ain't gotta talk about nothing, man.
Exactly.
Check on you, bro.
Exactly.
Just stopping in, see how you living, man.
For real.
It turns into like, bro, let's go do something. You need any help with anything?
Yeah.
And it's just like that. Exactly. Not looking for nothing in return.
Exactly. He was talking about an explorer. I ain't talking about the whip either. So you remember that book we started reading called Wild at Heart? I want to bring something to your attention. So men are supposed to be explorers, right? Check this out. He showed me this. When I was in the military, every duty station or every new city that I go to, I'm always, like the first year, I don't even cook. I just go out and eat. Go out and eat, right? Get lost, find places, right? How can a man be a man without exploring? Gets with a woman, right? Because all the brothers want a man. Well, I mean, all the brothers want a woman, right? So
I was like, wait.
Yeah, I'm looking at this prior thing.
Hold on.
But like, all men want a woman, right? All women want a man. But the thing is if the man doesn't explore, where can the man take the woman if he's not an explorer?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like that. Damn, that's deep.
So the thing is the crazy thing that he showed me was it's not just exploring the terrain. It's just the terrain in your heart, like who you are.
What's within.
Right, what's in. So when you explore yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, and put yourself in different environments, you start seeing like who you are and what you are not,
what makes
and
you tick,
yeah,
right?
And what makes you tick, and where the adrenaline come from in certain circumstances. So like, can you speak to that, man? Like, what, like, because right now, you know, every man has to be an explorer, but like, where do you see yourself doing your most exploration?
So like right now, my most exploring comes from what I do with my life is
okay.
How I make a living.
Okay.
I don't clock in and out, right?
Okay.
So because that, I mean, look, we're right now, we're in the middle of the Pearl. What time is it? It's 3:30.
Yeah.
You know, on a Thursday doing this.
Yeah.
So I really just go with whatever, like, God takes me, honestly, man. Like, when it comes to having discernment,
that's
for
huge.
Sure, that's like the main thing I always pray for, discernment and leadership. Because like, you don't want to get involved in something that God ain't bring you to or doesn't desire for you. As we both know, you know, things pop up, and it's up to us to navigate if it's for us or if it's not, you know.
Exactly.
I've been in plenty of situations where it's like, man, I should let that alone. I should have ran away from that, you know, but I'm curious. So it's like, well, I ain't never dealt with nothing like this before, so let me go find out about it. Turns out, man, you should have listened to somebody telling you to leave that alone because, you know, you waste time. You know, I don't had bad investments that went south. I had befriended people that terrible. You know what I mean?
So what's a bad investment though? What was the bad investment?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about
Let's talk about it.
So when I first got I'm going off of he said, she said, I'm able to, you know, you start making money and you hear things like, man, shoot, let me make my money go work for me.
Right.
So let me give this person some money and they say they're going to do this and that with it.
Mm.
And I got faith in them to uphold what they're going to say.
Right.
And it just ran off. Never seen it.
Wow. So that's some stuff football players and basketball players run into, bro.
It's real life.
Yeah.
It happens, you know. So, but blessed enough for that not to be a big deal. It didn't stop
them. Right. It didn't stop you from doing
it. I mean? It was like, dang, I can't believe that happened.
Right.
You struggle for a minute trying to figure out how you're going to make up for it. But then it's like, you know, you stay on course. It's just a learning experience. It's not really an L. It's just something to learn from. So that's where discernment comes in. Now it's like, I don't do anything without there being a contract, without there being some signatures going down
verbiage
somewhere. We gonna come to a real agreement, and I have attorneys now.
Yeah,
you know, so it's everything's legitimate.
And that's dope.
I think it took me. We come from a certain, you know, we're black, so.
Right.
There's a lot of disadvantages that we come across because we, you know, right off back, we don't have the same exposure as so many other people. But that's why I said earlier how exposure is so important. You got to go talk to people that
that's
don't
why
look
you
like
got to explore.
Because they can teach you something.
Yeah.
They can say, hey, before you do that,
do this.
You need to do this first.
Yeah.
Or how do you know this person?
Right. How do you
know this person? That's a big thing. Like, how do you, because. Oh, I know this person from this person from this person. Okay, what's going to happen with that relationship, you know?
Exactly.
And it's everybody knows somebody who knows somebody, but how do you know that person? You know,
exactly.
So get to know people.
Yeah.
You know, actually have real conversations.
Exactly.
Real conversations. And don't be afraid to take it deep, you know?
Exactly.
Get real as deep as you can, you know, because I was always told growing up, you can't do business with friends. And I feel like that's the biggest mistake. You know your friends.
Mm.
Who do you know? You know them deep.
The best example of that is LeBron, bro.
Man.
He made that, like, I know it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
But, like, he made that look, he made it look easy.
Yeah, it's because we don't know everything. We know what we see.
Right.
But them depositing into one another without expecting anything back. You know, we know that happened.
Exactly.
Right? So it's like we have a real relationship that we've been kicking it since 10 years deep, 20 years deep. Bro, I know exactly. Like, I know your aggressions. I know what makes you tick.
Yep.
I know how to make you laugh. I know what you think about this person. I know where you like to go. I know everything about you.
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to work with that person? Why wouldn't you want to grow
with that person,
you know? Keep those people around you.
Exactly.
And you just lean on each other because you've leaned on each other for so many other things. Why couldn't you go into business with that person, you know?
It don't make sense. Why not, bro?
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you get in a great position to be able to help.
Yeah.
You know, like the... and even if you don't have all your friends, you can have some of them in there within that in this, and they can tell you, like, yo, this don't look right.
Yeah.
This don't smell right.
Yeah.
You know, what you doing?
Yeah.
So, like, now that we talking about, we kind of talked about this whole explore thing, right?
Yeah.
Back to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You at this medical place. What does that day look like where you making this decision to walk away from something that's making how much money?
Oh, man, it's making about close to $70,000.
You making $70,000 in San Antonio, what, five years ago, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
So
I was the youngest. The glass ceilings are real.
Yeah.
At my age, being the youngest there, looking to my left, looking to my right, you know, other people in my position, to me, I couldn't do what I wanted with it.
And this is as the assistant psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
I can't have my own practice. I can go back to school. I don't want to go back to school.
Right.
So just like me weighing my odds, I was already introduced to real estate.
Yeah.
great mentors, you know, showing me the way for years. Well, technically, I guess I've been around the industry since like 2016.
Sheesh.
So I've already had been introduced to it. But in the medical field, it was like a real glass ceiling where it was, everyone is miserable. Everyone's complaining all the time.
That's a prison, bro.
Man, I'm 26, you know, 27. And then everyone around me is 40s, 50s, complaining all the time. I got to go home, take care of my family. That's like, hey, you don't want to
you don't want to do
like,
that?
You don't want to do that?
Yeah.
And it's what it was to me, they were in the same cycle. It was sleep, wake up, go to work, come home, go to your, like, kick with your family.
Autopilot.
That's it. So it's the same cycle. There's nothing new. There's no new lessons. You're not able to teach your kids anything new because you're doing the same thing all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? So you can only teach them so much. You're not doing anything different.
You're not exploring.
You're not exploring. Right? So so I just had that in me where I was like, man, like, if I stay here, I can look to my left and I can look to my right and I can see 20 years down the line, I'm going to be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
There's no way. Couldn't do it. So, you know, I took a chance on myself. Saved up a lot of money and just took off, man. Like,
so
just didn't look back.
So I'm very interested to know what that day was like, though.
Oh, the day.
You know what I'm talking about? That movie scene where the boss says something stupid and ignorant, and
that's exactly how it happened.
And then you look to you look around, and you like,
bro, I had a lot of pride back then, man. So when I left, I just quit.
I'll
give you a play-by-play.
Yeah, yeah.
So go to work. I'm running my unit, right? As PA, you got your own unit.
How many you got?
I had two units. On this one, between both units, I had about 38 patients.
Okay.
The medical field's crazy. I don't want to say anything too wild.
Yeah.
But basically, in the medical field, they say it's not transactional, but it's extremely transactional.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're taking care of the sick, so you make your money by having people sick. So if you're healing people,
that's my enemy, yo.
If you're healing people in the medical field, why, bro, you ain't got no
putting yourself out of business.
We ain't got no cure for cancer, bro. Why is that? Come on now.
Yeah, yeah. Let's you know be real. I mean?
Why does medicine cost so much? So I'm in the medical field and I'm being told, hey, you need your patients to stay here. My turnover rate, man, I got these people out of here in 3 days.
Gotcha.
I like having an empty unit. I don't like having a full unit.
Right, right.
That's a problem.
Because that's a moral thing. That's a moral compass for you.
If I figure out like what's wrong with this person, if we can heal them and get them up out of there and give them a better life, we should do that.
Yeah.
But that's not making money.
Yeah, that don't get a business booming.
Say it like this. If each patient, if they stayed the night, they're able to bill the insurance about $3,800 per night. So we got patients staying in there for months.
$3,800, man, that's
a night.
That's crazy.
And you've got people sitting down there for months at a time. It's like, you don't even need to be here. You really don't need to be here, right? So if I'm over here, if I can figure out how to get you up out of here, how to heal you, clear you, and get you up out of here, that's what I'm going to do. Jimmy, what you sitting around here for? Go live your life. Go figure something else out. Right. Get out of here. So I'm getting them out of there. But every week, medical director coming down on me.
The meeting.
Man. You know, if you look at me on paper, my patients love me.
Right. Right.
But the hospital hated me. So it's like I'm having that clash every day. Whereas here I am coming to work, doing my job. I feel like I'm doing it well, the right way. This is what I signed up for. You know, I feel like this is my purpose, is to be able to help people. So what better way than going to the medical field and help people, heal people, right?
Right.
But if it comes to making money, which to me, that's what the medical field is, they got a problem with it. Now, we want everybody on this, that, and the third, right? So not only are they staying there every night, you know, we're able to build them on, you know, every night they're staying there, but we're also putting them on medications. And we ain't even gonna talk about how expensive the medications are.
Man.
So they're we're hitting patients above the head, you know. By the end of the week, you owe us over 10 grand.
My God.
Thank God for insurance, right?
That's crazy,
yeah,
bro.
So that's just what it was, you know. So I got tired of it, bro. I just felt like this isn't real. Like, I'm not really, I can't see myself doing this forever. You know, not only am I not happy, but there's no elevation. I can't go anywhere else with this.
Right.
I capped out.
So this director, was he the catalyst? Like, he was the catalyst?
She.
Oh, she?
Yeah, yeah.
So, no disrespect to the ladies. Y'all can do anything. But she, was she the catalyst to your moving forward?
No, I think I was.
Okay.
Because I could have just fallen in line and been like, eh. I mean, we were going back and forth for months before I left.
Got
she wasn't
you.
Stopping me from doing what I was going to do.
Right.
What are you going to do? You going to... what? Can't fire me for doing my job.
Right, I'm doing,
you know,
it right.
I mean? I'm doing it
doing
the correct
it well.
Way.
Yeah.
So you see where the you see where there was so much of an issue, man. The corrosion is, we can't fire you because the patients love you and you're technically doing what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But I need you to stop doing that because we're losing money because of you.
Baby. Listen to me. Yo, what's happening? This is your man Monroe the Message. This is Can I Listen?
Yes, you can. Ladies and gentlemen, my question to you is would this test your integrity? Would this force you to move and go to another job or another industry if you were doing something where people were taking advantage of other people's sickness, extending their stay just so they can make another dollar? And granted, they're not taking money from the actual customer because they're paying a deductible, but some people are not paying deductibles. But then, you know, you got people taking money from insurance companies and they robbing people too. But does that make it right though? What would you do? Would you stay at that job? Or would you say, you know what? There's something that I always wanted to pursue in my life, and I'm about to go get it. Let's see what Trey do.
What are you going to do?
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I was going through that for a while, man. Man, it was time for me to go.
That's nuts, man.
You know, it was just time for me to go. So, with that, one day I just got up, had a meeting, a board meeting, and trying to fire me up. Same issues. Hey, we don't like how you're running your unit. Are you really hearing them? What's the turnover rate? I'm like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. I don't need to sit here for a week if they don't need to sit here.
Yeah, if they don't need to sit here for a week.
You know, so I just got tired of it, and I was like, man, this is... I quit. How about that? You know,
yeah.
I'm ready to go. No backup plan. No nothing.
No backup plan.
I
no B,
things,
no C, no
nothing, man.
Yeah.
It's just like, I just knew I didn't want to be there anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So now you done left the spot. Bam.
Mm-hmm.
You done made your decision because this is testing your moral integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stepping out on a leap of faith. What was the first thing that, because most people that's listening, they might be in this situation. That's why I'm trying to get this play by play, right? Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you can go home and ball and get in the corner and just not come out and get evicted and be on drugs. And then you are homeless. That's one option.
Yeah.
The other option is you can learn something. So what was it that gave you the drive to go in a direction? Like, what showed you the way that you're on right now? Like, what was it that happened? Was a conversation, running into somebody, or like, how did you get in that lane and start this process?
So I had already had mentors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, okay.
I had all this free time. I had all this free time. So with my free time, I just leaned on them. And I was like, you know, hey, show me something.
Yeah.
I want to be around. I want to learn. And they already saw that fire in me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you're going to. This is all. This that was the catalyst for you.
Yeah.
That's what drove me forward, was just having more free time to really get into it.
Yeah.
Like, I always say this. If you do anything, do it well. It don't matter what it is.
Right.
Do it very well. Because what that does is it creates discipline. Right. It don't matter if I'm out here clean. If I got to cut this yard, I swear this yard's going to be the nicest it's ever been.
Right.
And that's just how I operate. I don't want to have to do anything.
Okay.
So it was just the opportunity presented itself for me to really put more time into creating and developing this craft. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this was something I could do because at the end of the day, it's just helping people in another
So let's rewind. You got the mentors, right?
Yeah.
You're discovering. You're exploring right now. You're back in exploration mode, free to do it at all 24 hours to explore.
Right.
What put you in the realtor route?
So my mentor, for about 2.5 years, he had already... Met him in the gym.
Okay.
So for anyone who asks how to find people or guidance or mentors, you can meet anyone anywhere. Just
yes.
Get outside your house.
Right.
So met this guy in the gym. We had just been hanging out outside of the gym. He's, you know, he's telling me what he does. He's a general contractor. So for a few years, he was showing me his projects. And I got a million questions. When I say this is HGTV in real life.
Right.
This is HGTV in real life, man. So mm-hmm. The opportunity presented itself for me to link up with him and really grab onto him and, like, ask him for guidance.
Right?
So he guided me through it. He showed me all his different projects. You know, I'm having questions. It's not enough for you just to see something being built, but where'd the funding come from for you to do that?
Got
how did you.
You
first get started, right? So I have questions. I need to see something
from A to Z. Yeah.
Right? So I'm asking the questions about, well, what's A? How'd you get started?
Right.
So he gives me that information. I'm like, okay, well, let me go do that.
Got it.
How'd you build your team? You know, you're a general contractor, but where'd you get your foreman from? Oh, man, sometimes I'll just go to Home Depot, or I met this person over here. We've been able to befriend each other for 4 years, and he knows this person. And this
relationships.
Person knows, it's everything, right? It's not it's never what you know, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to know a lot if you can, if you're blessed. I mean, some of us are great learners, man. Not everybody is, but everybody is capable of anything. So get those.
Let me chime in. So. Now you're asking these questions, where funding is coming from, where this is coming from.
Yeah.
He's telling you everything is built off relationships.
Yeah.
And you're starting, it's starting to open up for you. Like, it's like, hold on, like, now I'm starting to see something.
Yeah.
What is keeping you from panicking, and what's keeping you from not getting scared? Because you ain't got a job.
I was scared now. Hold on. I was scared.
All right, so that's why I'm trying to get to the real. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, real.
So
for sure.
Because this is like, if a person is in your situation right now,
I put pressure on myself.
Let's talk about the scared thing. What's going through your mind before you even start reaching out? Like, how are you feeling? Like, what was taking place? Were you staying at your mom's crib? Was you know, like, what's the play? Like, what's going on?
Mentally, I go back with my parents.
Okay.
Got a lot of money. Still got bills.
Yep.
So I'm looking at my bank account, right?
Right.
Got a lot of money saved. But, you know, when you look at your bank statement, you're looking at it in color. You can see green and you can see red numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, the green numbers, deposits.
Deposits.
Yeah. The red numbers, transactions.
Yes, sir.
Spending.
Yeah.
So... month, first month goes by, man, I'm doing all right. But it's nothing but red.
Yes.
Second month is nothing but red. Third month is nothing but red. I'm like, okay, this is a problem.
Because yeah.
this capital that I've been able to save over time is only going to last me so long.
Exactly.
So that's where the panic came from.
Mm.
Where it's like, you know what? Okay, you got to figure this out.
All the ignition, one or the other. Right, so the fight or flight.
That was the fear for me. But then with fear, there has to be faith.
Right.
Like I said, you put me anywhere. I know what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
You know? You know me long enough, you know what I'm gonna do too.
Yeah.
So there was never a question in my head. It was like, oh, this isn't gonna work. It was when it works.
Right.
When it happens. Because I'm gonna just put my foot on the gas and I'm gonna make something happen. So I'm with my mentor. He's showing me the game.
And it's the GC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He introduces me to his fiance after I went and got my license. So I went and got my realtor license.
What was that journey like? Because this is an 8-week journey? Because you just bypassing stuff?
Bro, that took me. So this whole time I'm like working. As soon as I left my job, I told myself, you can't just invest, because investing, like, you know, you take your money and you, like, I learned how to do it the hard money route. Right.
Right.
So you get your money, but you need something. If I'm gonna flip a house, it's gonna take a while.
Exactly.
So I need something.
At least 3 months.
Man, I'm used to having every 2 weeks getting a nice check.
You know what I mean?
So when you cut that off and you go 3 months without nothing, it's like, dang, bro.
When
you set yourself up right, you prepare for it, you know, you make your money and you have a lot saved up, but savings ain't really nothing.
Yeah.
Especially now, today, with inflation.
Yeah, man. That thing gets swallowed.
Man.
If you ain't getting about a good 10-12% on your money,
yeah.
That's like corrosion.
Right, right.
Sitting in a bank account.
Right. So what I did was I'm shadowing the GC.
Got it.
I'm getting my license.
And going to school.
Yes.
Doing this online or in person?
I'm doing that myself and by myself.
Okay.
All online.
Online. Okay,
right.
Got it.
So
all right.
Like, I don't want to go into a classroom because
it's going to take away from this GC stuff.
The clock is ticking.
Right,
too,
right, right,
right. If I'm in a class, I can't study. I can't spend 16 hours a day studying.
Mm.
I can only go to this classroom for whenever they tell me I can go.
Right.
Right? But this is my time I'm playing with, right? Like, I got to figure this out because I'm not going back to the medical field.
Exactly.
My head, right? My dad is like, man, you need to be back to the medical field.
So that pressure. So now you're getting pressure from.
Oh, yeah. From everywhere.
You're getting pressure from yourself. You're getting pressure from that bank account.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting pressure from your parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to give everybody a good visual of what mm-hmm. this looked like, because he wants you to do what's going to make money and bread.
Yeah.
But you ain't got no family.
Man, I left out the biggest part, man. I didn't do any of this without praying first.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So definitely, like, I felt led to quit. Like, I know I wanted to,
right.
but I had to pray on that first.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely, like, was praying on it. I was like, man, God, I had no fulfillment where I was. And I knew God didn't just want me to be there for 30, 40, 50 more years.
So if we rewind,
mm-hmm.
your prayer to Pops was what? And then how far was it from the day that you got up out of there?
So I was praying for about, 2 months. Two and a half months.
Yeah.
Like, show me something else.
Yeah.
Like, if this is for me, then push me through it to something else.
Right.
Because it just didn't, you know how, I wasn't depressed.
It felt like a graveyard, bro.
Yeah, I felt a crazy type of low where it was, this cannot be the rest of my life.
Yes.
You know, like, this can't be it.
There's no way.
Like, man, I'm young, man. I got a lot of life, a lot of things I want to do.
Exactly.
And I don't know how I can go do these things if I'm stuck here. So, and I feel bad saying that, but not really. But I feel a way about it because there's so many people that are in that industry and they don't see nothing.
Well,
you know, that's
bro.
For them. But that's for them. You know,
yeah.
what's for you is for you. Obviously, that wasn't
for a time.
Right.
For it a
just,
season.
It just wasn't for me, you know. So, and that's what purpose is.
Right.
When you're outside of your purpose, when you're outside of, I got a good friend. Her name's Osei. She always talks about alignment, right?
Okay.
So when you're out of alignment with what God's purpose is over you, everything starts to feel shaky.
Yeah.
Right? Every day I'm getting up, And I'm dating this girl back then too. And it's like, dude, I work crazy hours. I mean, there's some, I'm working 16-hour shifts sometimes. I'm working 12-hour shifts. Sometimes I'm working 8-hour shifts.
So you can't even really build a relationship.
No, not really. I'm getting off at like 6 in the morning. She'll wake up, get on the phone with me, and it's like, this is trash, bro. I'm not present, you know? So it's like, being so confined and felt so stuck, it was, I had to go, right? So I was praying for a while, like, show me something else, lead me to something else, make me a leader, because I know this ain't it. And whatever I'm called to do, I feel like I'm supposed to be, I got to have a team to lead.
Gotcha. Right?
I got to have other people, and whatever I create with myself, I want to be able to show them how to do it as well.
So now you basically, you start praying. Mm-hmm. You say, no, I'm out of here. I'm quitting.
Yeah.
Fast forward, you going to GC, and you going to doing the training online so you can have the time to do what you need to do in between. Mm-hmm. Then now your pops is giving you a squeeze, like, yo, you need to go back to the medical.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you, because everybody, this is one of the, people don't understand the context of this, right? Jesus tells his parents, I must do my father's business.
Mm-hmm.
This is you right now. Just letting you know, you're not 12, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the moment you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, you start asking questions. Like, he was in the temple.
Right.
You start...
right.
You start seeing things, and you're like, yo, this ain't what it is.
Yeah.
And then somebody and your parents say, hey, man, just... I got to be about my father's business. So, what's in you that's telling... What happened in this exchange with your pops?
So, man, thank God for great parents.
Yes.
Man, for real. So, my parents put pressure on me to do... I'm not a father, but I can only imagine being a father and trying to guide your child to go with what you feel is correct.
Right.
Right? So not only was there that, but then my dad has this crazy patience for his kids.
Where
it's like real love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, whatever you want to do, I'm a support.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want you to know, this is what I feel you should be doing. So this is a daily thing.
Like, right.
Hey,
every morning.
You're not showing me nothing.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. I see what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
I see how motivated you are, but you're not showing me nothing yet, right? And when I say showing me something, parents want to see the reality of whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Exactly.
Which show them some money you made.
Right.
So it took me a while, bro.
So did you come to him with a plan? Or are you just
sure.
Okay, then.
Yeah, both of them. I'm letting them know what it is I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I think, like, my parents had that patience where it's like, you know, okay, we see what he wants to do. He's not just saying it. I'm not a talker.
Right.
I'm going to show up, right?
And you know something I want to share with the listeners is also with you. Where did your dad retire at? What rank?
He's
something.
There.
He was up there, right? So did he do 20 years?
Nah.
How long was he in the military?
My dad did like 14 years.
14 years. All right. So, being in the military, I don't care what part of leadership you in, there is chaos all the time, and you're managing people.
Yeah.
Your mom is in the medical field, mm-hmm. and she's got patience.
Mm-hmm. She's got employees.
She's got employees, and she's got patients, and she's got to exercise patience. Both of them have to exercise patience, mm-hmm. been in the military and been in these fields.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of shows me, like, why they were able to be so patient with you guys and your family.
Yeah.
Because of all of the stuff that the military take you through is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Your mom's got to be patient with your dad.
Yeah.
Traveling around and doing all the stuff with the kids.
Yeah.
So, like, that's
to up
it.
Up and leave.
Exactly.
Your whole, everything you know.
Yeah. You've been building for 3 years.
Yeah. And now I got to go.
Now you got to go.
Yeah. So that's definitely why we're tight. Yeah.
That's crazy.
My siblings are my best friends.
That's great, man.
Parents are everything to me. They built real structure in us.
Yeah.
And they didn't show... Man, we were sheltered.
Okay.
In a crazy way where it wasn't until I was an adult that, well, I guess Yeah, it wasn't ready until I was older. I don't say adult. Yeah. To where I saw broken homes, like broken families. I wasn't exposed to broken. I'm thinking everybody grows
family
up
is like you.
Mom and dad in the house cooking. Y'all getting up every Saturday and Sunday, playing gospel music, painting together, just kicking it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's just how everybody's life
is. Normal.
It wasn't until like we really got older, had some friends, you know, in middle school, and high school, where it was like, oh, what you mean your parents aren't married?
Yeah.
You got to move in with us. Like, you know, things got so bad over there that my parents took friends of mine in, raised them.
Yeah.
Like their own kids. You know what I mean? So I got extended brothers and extended sisters, you know what I mean, that grew up with us.
Man.
You know, so, but that's the integrity of my parents.
Right, like, exactly.
That's just what, how they are, my parents. And so there's my blessing, my first blessing is being exposed to that.
Yes.
And if they're able to do for the neighborhood kids, you know what I mean? Imagine how much they poured into us.
Exactly.
So I feel like a lot of who I am today, the character I have, is because of them. I
exactly.
owe them, honestly. My parents did. They did well with us.
Yeah.
So there's like the structure. That, and like I said, even as an adult, like I'm doing well for myself. And just to up and leave, I didn't say nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just come home. And then I hit them up one day. Hey, I quit. What you mean you quit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you ain't coming to my house.
Man. I already packed my bag. What you mean?
I'm at the door.
So yeah, that happened. And then to get back to like what got me to this point, time goes by, I get my license. And not only am I with my mentor, right, we closed off a couple of deals, and those are like the biggest checks I ever
seen. So you interning right now,
basically.
Got it. So you got the license, and he's just kind of showing you the ropes.
She. So he might my.
Because I'm thinking about the fiance. GC. Okay, the GC, fiance yeah,
we did a few transactions, biggest checks I ever seen.
Right.
So that was like instant gratification for me. It's like, oh yeah, this is what you need to be doing. Bro,
got you.
It's different from, you know, making like $7,000 a month to make three times that in one transaction.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then he's showing me, imagine you get 10, 15, 20 houses that you're working on at a time. And I'm like, but that's the power of a network, the power
right,
of a team.
Right.
That's the first time I actually seen how important the team was, because he's honcho, right?
Okay.
But honcho was jumping from house to house to house to house to house to house to house, all being flipped at the same time, right?
Mm.
So it's not just one or two projects. He's working on 15 projects, 10 projects at a time.
Right.
Right. And then as soon as he closes out one, he go gets two more. And I'm this is my exposure at this point.
Right.
This is what I'm seeing, right? So this man looks like me, talks like me, older than me. This is everything that I wasn't getting in the medical field. Growth. Right?
Right.
I can see how the more you do, the more you can grow.
Okay.
Right? The more you do, the bigger your vintage can get.
Yeah.
The more people you can bring in and show. That's what I was. He brought me in and showed me.
Right.
So then it was the same exact thing with this fiance, who's now my mentor as well. But on the transactional side of real estate, right? How do we do these contracts? Now you're a realtor as well.
Right.
Houses. Now you got your license. So then I saw that side, and I'm like, I'm seeing off flipping houses, you know, that money that we're paying out as far as 6% for the buyer's agent and the closing, the listing agent.
Right.
3% and 3%. Big check, bro. Mm-hmm. 6% of $100,000. $6,000,
mm-hmm.
You know, you sell a $300,000 house, $400,000 house. Those numbers keep getting bigger and bigger, you know.
Right.
So, I'm seeing us give out $20,000, $30,000 on closing these deals, bro. And it's like, man, imagine if I had my license and I can list my own house, my own projects. Like, man, if I had someone to show me how to do that,
right?
This is the power of networking and talking, man. Like. You ain't know my fiance was a broker. I'm a realtor, a broker.
Right. That's the other side of the coin.
It's the other side of the coin. So I love that side.
I got a question, though. because there's people that want to be realtors. We just had a realtor on here like last month.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a better vision for a realtor to flip houses because they're a realtor? Mm. Or is it just because of your network that makes it a better, your network makes it a better, give you a better vision on what to do and what not to do as far as like flipping houses?
So
like how does it benefit? What's the pros of that?
I would say it's all about the individual.
Got it.
You got plenty of realtors out here who just wanna practice as a realtor.
Yeah.
For me, that was never my goal. It was never like I just wanna have my license to sell pretty houses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For me it was this is a benefit. This is another side of the coin, right? There's this big old piece of pie right here, right?
Got you.
And I'm getting a portion of this pie, but how can I help myself get another portion? The pie tastes good.
Right, right.
I want a little bit more
the
pie.
The pie tastes good. I want another piece, grandma. I want another piece.
Yeah, you know how grandma is. You need to wait for your uncles and your brothers and your sisters. Like, nah, grandma.
Nah, I'm trying to get one more. It's still hot, grandma.
Double up on me. So yeah. That's what it was for me.
Got it.
It was a way for me to build capital to keep investing.
Got you.
And it was a way for me to pick up on another side of the transaction that I'm leaving on the table. So I was always told, don't leave anything on the table.
So these checks, are they surpassing what you need for a two-week?
Yes, sir.
All right, so, because this is what they need to know. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Everybody don't strike gold when they on the first hit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, yeah, there's definitely trials.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you had a couple of deals that was like big checks off rip when you said that. Yeah. So I'm trying to make sure there was no struggle in this.
I had guidance, bro. There was struggle, but my struggle was corrected by the guidance.
Got it.
This is why it's so important to have mentors. Mm. I didn't have to go out here and make all the mistakes.
Right.
I had every step, bro. Every step I took, one after the next, I'm taking it to my broker.
Got you.
You know, even before she's even my broker, this is what I mean by the power of network, man. And when you pray about people to come into your life and when God brings them, you don't really know who it is. Because she started showing me the game before I was even licensed up under her. I was with another brokerage. There was no incentive for her to help me.
At all.
You know, but her thing was, I see something in you.
Yes.
And all I want from you is to take everything that you're about to learn with me and go teach the next. Right.
Right.
So that's how I operate, man. It's like when someone needs some help, they got questions, I don't look to gain. It's just let me deposit something. Let me help.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how I was helped.
Exactly.
Like, she ain't asked for nothing. Of course, like, after I'm closing deals, I'm trying to sneak money to her. She didn't even want to take the money.
Right.
She didn't want to take it.
Right.
Even now, like, she does not want anything from me, bro. Nothing.
But some time.
That's it. And it's like, even that, she's... You find people you're going to do life with.
Yeah.
And that's what God did.
Yeah.
He showed me someone I'm going to do life with.
That's
forever,
dope.
Bro.
So, that is dope.
That's how that happened.
And you said you prayed for these people.
Yeah.
So what was that prayer like?
The prayer was God. Like I don't know the way to go.
Right.
But I felt God was gonna. I feel like God will always bring somebody to show you something. Right. We can just be walking around. For instance, I had I say it like this. This is like way off topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I got a condo in Lake Travis, and I was taking the nails. Oh, the screws out of the wall from
the TV?
From the TV.
Got
yeah,
it.
I told you about that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Took the screw out because I want to put a bigger TV, right? This is one of my STRs, short-term rentals.
Right.
Airbnbs.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put an 86-inch TV up. Right now, I got like a 55-inch on the wall, right? So in order to hold that weight on the wall, you got to change the mount. So I'm like, go buy another mount. Got the TV.
Right.
We going to renovate the entire thing, right? New furniture.
Yeah.
New everything, right? So that's my job. I'm going to go in here and redo everything. One of the things that happens is, as I take the nail off the wall, that nail was screwed into. It was like unplugging a cork, right? Took that nail off the wall. The nail was nailed into the sprinkler line.
Oh my goodness.
Bro, when I it flooded. I'm on the top. My condo's on the top floor. It flooded every single unit underneath mine. Right? Now, they gave up. But let me get back to the point of this story.
Yes.
So it takes like almost a month to get everything fixed up. Not just mine, but the reason it took
other people's stuff.
Yeah, everybody's stuff, right? I'm responsible. Insurance. But it takes a while, bro. And that was like one of the lowest points in my investing career.
Right.
Because to me, it was like, dang, everything could be over right here. This could be the mistake to end everything. You know, it's like one of my first investments just flooded. It's done, right? My cash cow's is dead. Like, you know what I mean? But the way I looked at it was, I've seen a lot of stuff happen.
Right.
And you prepare yourself. So getting everything taken care of, bro, I'm like low for a little bit, right? Because I'm like, dang, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm used to that producing income for me, and that's taking care
of
everything.
And how long were you producing until that happened?
Man, like 6 months.
6 months.
That place like 6 months.
Man.
So that happened. I remember I go to church, and this lady walks up to me during praise and worship, and she's like, hey, I just want to tell you that God's put something in me to tell you, and it's whatever is bothering you, whatever it is that you're going through, that he sees you, and to keep leaning on him, and just to keep working on whatever it is that you're working with. She has no idea. I've never seen this lady day in my life.
Right.
She said, whatever it is you're working on, whatever it is that you're doing, keep giving it to God, and God's going to push you through it because he has so much more promise for you.
Got it.
Bro, when I say I'm operating on all cylinders right now, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because it's like that's God really will just show. He'll bring somebody to deliver a message.
Right.
The most random person. But you got to be open to it, and you got to be in your foundation, right?
God's so, so, foundation. Open to it. Everybody ain't open.
Right.
Some people hearts is hard. Some people are like, man, I don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? So what? How does a person be open to that? Is it they just got to receive that information and just like really believe it? Or is it that you just got to be seeking and ready for it?
Man,
what is it?
You just got to have faith, man. Just even a little bit of faith.
Okay.
I'm sure everybody's went through something that they was like, dang, I can't believe I got out of that.
Right.
Right. Whether it be a car accident, whether it be someone else that you know is going through something. Everyone knows, has or knows of a testimony somewhere. But do you believe it? Is it like, oh, that can never happen to me?
Right.
Or that just never, like, you know, you can't be such a pessimistic. You got to be optimistic.
Yeah.
And faith is very, very optimistic.
Yeah.
You just got to go try. It's when you want to grow and get to another stage of life, somebody had to, I don't know who it was, but there was the first person to do something in every industry. Let's look at airplanes, right?
Yeah.
Imagine how insane it has to be for somebody to say, oh, I want to fly. Well, you ain't no bird. What do you mean you want to fly?
Like, yeah.
I'm going to create a machine. I'm going to put it in the air. I'm going to jump it off this cliff.
It's going to go.
And everybody, bro, could you imagine?
Oh, yeah. I can only.
Right?
Like,
everybody in the world is probably telling them, dude, what are you? You're about to, this is suicide.
That's the equivalent to you telling your dad, like, yo, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go back here.
Right.
It's the same thing.
I had, luckily for me, I don't feel like I'm, nowadays, you don't have to be the first to do something. You just got to surround yourself with somebody who's doing what you're doing, you know? And that's what I've always been good at. I know how to surround myself with people that can breathe life into me.
Right, right.
And like, I don't have the biggest circle, but the people that I do keep around, we're firing on all cylinders.
Exactly.
And I think that's the difference between me and a lot of people is, you asked me earlier, how do you find it? Are you surrounding yourself with people who are doing stuff and just have faith in whatever it is that they're doing? They don't even have to be doing anything crazy. It's just like in the daily conversation, is it something that's growing you or is it something that's stealing from you?
Right.
Right. So, and that looks different in a lot of ways, right? If you can have somebody that you just grew up with and real, y'all just best friends, right? But every single time you kick in with this person, all they're doing is talking about something negative. That's stealing from you. At the end of the day, that's stealing life out of you, because it's now you don't have the ability to put your mind in the space of growth.
Right.
Everything's pessimistic. That could never work out. This person's dumb. Why would they do that?
Yeah.
Like, what side of the line do you want to be on?
Right.
Do you want to be on that? Like, I feel like I'm done with my faith, bro. Like, it's almost ludicrous. I really feel like I can do anything.
Right.
Like, anything.
Right.
Anything. Like, I just tell myself that. Like, nah, there's nothing you can't do.
Yeah.
And then when the opportunity comes for me to try something, I'm going to try it. And I might fail, but let me go try it again. I bet you I'll get it right this
right,
time.
Right.
Nah, it didn't work out. Oh, I should have tried it this way. Let me go try it now.
Exactly.
And just doing that over and over and over, you learn from it. Now, mix that in with someone who's already went through what you're going through, and you talk to them.
And they give you more insight.
Now you got somebody who can counsel you through whatever it is you're trying to do, right?
Exactly.
Consultations, everything.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to go out here and make the mistakes if you surround yourself with
the right people.
So that's everything, bro. That's the only reason. One way or another, I was going to make this happen.
Right.
But I feel like something about me is just, I don't take no. I won't tell myself no.
Right.
Right. I always feel like one way or another, if not now, then later. It's always when it happens, not if. It's always when. And if it is if, it's a positive if.
Right.
It's never like an if and then failure after. It's always if this works out like this, and then if it doesn't work out like this, then if it works out this way, and it's every way. It's positive.
Right.
Every single time.
So like the optimistic thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
What in your background from your family instilled that in you?
My mom's an entrepreneur.
Also, she was an entrepreneur as
She's got her own company.
So because she's got her own company.
I grew up seeing that.
Got you. So what kind of mindset did your mom have, like, that just floating around in the room?
She's always positive. And then if she was negative, then it was somebody else to come and pick it back up. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, right.
My dad. It was my older brother, my sister, myself. Yeah. It was always like, why not try something for yourself?
Just okay.
Have faith. Like, pray to God about it. If he is leading you to do it, and if you feel like he's actually God, bro, he does some things to confirm. If there's one thing he will do that I know he'll do, is confirm things.
Yes.
He'll confirm when he doesn't want you to do something too.
Exactly.
So you just gotta like have the discernment of finding those confirmations. And once you can find those confirmations, then it's just, okay, let's go for it.
So speaking of confirmations and discerning, because discernment is not like just, it's not running around freely.
Right.
There's a building process for that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at your spiritual building blocks, right? What are you doing daily, or what are you doing weekly and monthly over a long time span that has gotten you the discernment? Because we know you're going to church, right? Because you just got, somebody was talking to you earlier, whatever, right? But then also, what are you doing internally? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is you doing to build this faith? Because it doesn't just come like that. Jesus studied the word of God for almost like 18 to 20 years before he even started his ministry.
Yeah.
So like, what built that?
I feel like since I was a kid, man. Like, my mom said I had a soft heart.
Got it.
But a soft heart in being able to relate to situations that I've never been in.
Okay.
Right. So with that, I feel like I'm able to look for God in everything, bro. Where I might just go for a walk by myself. It's like, okay, man, I'm gonna take this time and like just pray and like really seek God.
Yeah.
I seek God every day.
Nice.
In one way or another.
So this is in the morning. It's just any time of the day.
I do have a morning routine for sure.
Got it. So what that look like?
Usually my morning routine is, I've fallen off of my 5 a.m. I used to be like, I used to pride myself being the 5 a.m. club. Get up every morning at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
meditate for an hour, read the Bible for an hour, go to the gym for about an hour and a half, and then get my day started.
Okay.
Man, I was doing that for like 3 years when my first really got started in this.
Right.
But on a daily, what it looks like is, it could be anything, bro. It could be me just taking the time to get to myself, pray for a moment. I'm always in my word.
Okay.
I'm always in the scripture. Whether it's just me taking a moment, sitting in the car, having gospel music playing.
Yep.
I'm not. I listen to secular things too.
You try to surround yourself.
I definitely try to put myself in the area to where I can receive and see God.
Okay.
Daily.
Got it.
I always work on that. It's even through conversations that I have, praying for my friends, family, them doing the same for me. I have a lot of relationships, dude, where I can just sit down and literally talk about, all right, bro, so what do you feel like God's telling you to do in this moment?
Right.
And being able to have those kind of relationships, I think that's like the number one thing. Yeah, I have my own intimate relationship, of course.
Of course.
But the ability of being able to have like-minded people seek God as well. I feel like that's what really keeps me in it. And, you know, growing up, every Sunday, twice on Sundays, actually, go to
Sunday
church.
School.
Right. Parents take us to church. And that's kind of the same thing led through elementary, middle school, and high school. Just always been this way.
All right.
Yeah, so shout out to my parents.
So it seems like the things that make you who you are, one is the foundation that your parents set. The patience that they had to truly love you the way that a child should be loved. They made the environment so good to the point you thought that the whole world was like that.
Yeah.
And that's an environment you can't just put together. That's their parents. That's their parents before that. You know, it's a lot of building blocks that go into that, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that I'm seeing is you're willing to ask questions and to seek understanding. You're willing to go into any place and be okay. And you're willing to jump into the unknown. Your willingness to just want to know more. Like to do things at a high level. You got like an athletic mindset where it's like, I'm doing this. All right, I did it this way. Let me go back to the drawing board, do a debrief. All right, let me fix that and then go back and do it again. And it's like, because that's what we do as athletes. You're working on your footwork. You're looking at your tape. You're watching your opponents. You're always trying to get better. And then, most importantly, that circle, because that circle was taught to you by your family because you're surrounded by love in that family. And then now you're getting surrounded by mentors, and then you reaching out to people that are like-minded like yourself. To pour into you as you pour into them. But you're seeking to pour into them first, not just to be receiving something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you got a spiritual, you got your daily routines, you got your spiritual upbringing where you consistently in God's word, always seeing his light. If you can't see his light, it's hard to be positive. You know what I'm saying? It's very difficult to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm looking at all of the situations that you've been in and all of the things that's getting you through it is the G-O-D. And the reason that he's getting you through it is because you respect him. So he's communicating with you. And now you got an intimate relationship. So now you trust him. You trust him and then you're building on it and it's just flourishing.
Yeah, I've seen what he's done, man. Over daily.
Yes.
Not in just the beginning, but daily.
Yes.
Like, people think like, oh, you're just lucky. Nah.
Blessed, man.
There's blessings over there. There's a lot of favor.
Yeah.
And I've always said God blesses us so that we can bless others.
Exactly.
And I feel like I keep coming across great relationships, great opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's just in me to take action with them. But he keeps giving it to me because I'm literally giving it to the Lord. But I just figured out a way I just broke the code.
Yeah.
Let me go tell this person how to break the code too.
Exactly.
And now that person I'm ready to quit my job. I ain't never done this in my life. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I'm like, in my head, it's like, yeah, I knew that was going to happen.
Exactly.
But then, like, what was told to me, hey, I need you to go and share this with the next. I'm telling them that too. Like, I don't need nothing from you, but I do need you to go and bless the next person. And I think that's something that's been robbed from us, honestly.
Yeah, I got a question though, man. One of the things that I find when it comes to sharing, because like you said, God brings the person to you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you determine when somebody comes, like, I'm not supposed to go so far with this as far as giving information? Because
yeah.
You got some people, man, like, they're curious, and they, like, you can see yourself in them, right? And, and you're like, yo, I got to feed this guy. And then you got some people that come, and it's like, you give them something, and it's just like, it just falls on deaf ears. So, like, how do you weigh, like, okay, discern, like, man, I probably shouldn't be giving this person any more information, or I should be giving more information to this person and not to this person.
I think information should be free.
Okay.
So I give it away.
That's a real deal.
Yeah. But the way I figure out who I should spend my time with and who I shouldn't, they reveal it to me.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Got it.
There's been so many times, man. I mean, I could talk with anybody.
Yeah.
But who's going to take action? Right? You have action takers out here. And
yeah.
Action takers come back. So I'm a busy guy. And I'm not going to be out here just trying to spend time with this person and it just falls on deaf ears.
Mm.
So once I see that, hey, I'm wasting time here.
Yeah.
Well, there's another 10 people out here that need my time.
Yes.
I'm gonna spend my time with them. And when that person starts realizing that they're not getting anything out of me, they come back.
Yes.
And then we have a conversation like, hey, well, what did you do with what you do have? And if they ain't done nothing.
Faithful with little.
Right. If they ain't done with it, nothing with it, well, you got an assignment. Go do something with what you have and then come back. A lot of times they don't come back.
That's crazy.
So they reveal themselves. I'm not gonna pick and choose who I want to help and who I'm not. I want to help everybody.
Got you.
But most people won't help themselves.
Because the question wasn't like a pick or choose. It was more like, how do you know when and when not to, like, to give more time to these people and that. But you just basically said, like, they reveal that to you by not doing nothing with the information. And it's no different than the parable.
Yeah.
The dude putting something in the ground and doing, and these other guys running around doing everything that they can. To make something out of it. You know what I mean? So I feel that.
That's literally it, man. Like, I think that's, if everyone has a basic understanding of that, when you receive something, you have to
Do something with it.
And when people learn that they have to do, right, you can't just sit around and expect. We have to be in motion. We have to be doing things.
Right.
Not all the time. There's definitely time for rest.
Always time for rest.
What, on the seventh day? What about the other six?
That's time to rest during the day.
Right. So if you're sitting
How
around.
How you doing? All right.
If you're sitting around not just taking. This is what we talked about in the beginning. You just take. But then the biggest thing you could do from someone who gives is receive something from them and then do something with it.
Right.
Because
that's, now you're giving the fruit. Now you can bring that fruit to them and be like, yo, I got something else.
Right. Look, I just took that seed and I just grew a whole tree over here.
Yeah.
Right?
And I got five fruit.
I got a buddy, Miguel. He's always asking me about short-term rentals, right?
Yeah.
And we just chopping up. Like I said, I'm meeting, see him at the gym. He shoot me a text. He's sending me stuff. Hey, what do you think of this? I'm going to answer. I'm going to give. And this dude doing stuff with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now to see him operating, this dude's got three. And you know what he did with it? He put his parents into it, too. His parents got it, too.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the perfect example of someone taking something and doing something with it. You know?
Mm.
Oh, my friend Osei, she's the same way. Actually, she taught me the short-term rental game. But she's about to come on board to my realtor team, right? And the amount of things that she's been able to acquire without her license, right? I'm over here how she got her first owning one was, I'm in Florida, we're on the phone, and we're just bouncing questions off of each other. I'm already a realtor, right? I've been doing this for a minute. She's like, she's teaching me the short-term rental game at the time because she has her own rentals. They're arbitrage. So, but
also
arbitrage,
she using somebody else and
yeah,
leasing
she
the spot.
She basically had an apartment,
yeah, apartment
and then had a contract.
Fix it up.
Yeah, and it was like, hey, will you guys agree to letting me rent this out if I rent it out from y'all? They said yes. So she started it that way. She had the opportunity to have like 5 or 6.
Wow.
So I'm asking her, like, how'd you, you know, she's teaching me the game, how she got started. Thorough. And then the question I asked her was like, why aren't you owning any of them? She's like, I don't think I can buy a house.
Oh, man, like, you just took the ceiling off the roof.
I'm like, what you mean? Like,
oh, I'm a realtor, man.
Let me, you know, me knowing what I know.
Yeah.
All right, okay, tell me why you can't. She starts saying all these reasons why she can't. None of it made sense to me.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to just pre-qualify you really fast. How long you had the job? 2 years. What's your FICO? She had 700. But she did the income. She ain't had no debt. Right?
None.
Car paid off. Credit cards under 10% utilization. Mm. No debt. How much money you make?
You make good money.
Great money. So you pre-qualify.
Easy.
That fast.
So, hey, quick question. This is something for the people out there, right? Because a lot of people want to buy houses, of mm-hmm. course. So, some people that are not employees, right? They're not on a W-2. They're getting 1099s. And they're making their money other ways, right? Maybe like her, you know what I'm saying?
But she had a job at the time.
Okay, so she had a job. But this is for the entrepreneurs, though.
Yeah.
So, if a person is got a business, trying to get a place, got a good credit score, they got consistent money coming in, they've been getting paid all year long for like 2 years.
Yeah.
How are they taking the income and finding out, like, hey, if this person can get this type of money or that type of money, this type of money?
So,
are they just looking at statements?
We have what's called an entrepreneur loan. Mm-hmm. Quoted. It's not really, it's like fake statement loan, right?
Okay.
Debt service coverage ratio loan.
Okay.
These loans are for the entrepreneurs. These are for the people who are not W-2 employees.
Okay.
So let's say you have your own business, right? But your business, your accounting isn't there. You don't got yourself on payroll, but you got a business bank account.
Right, right.
And month after month after month, that business is doing $5,000 or 20 or 30 or whatever it is,
exactly.
Right? It's producing. Month after month after
okay.
month. Well, certain lenders are able to use that bank statement to pre-qualify you to buy a house. Now, the interest or down payments may be a little bit different, you know, but until you're in that place.
You're talking about percentage-wise?
Yeah, so you might have to put 20% down versus, you know, FHA is 3.5.
Got you.
Right? But if that gets you out of renting and if you can afford to do it because of what your... You know what your business is doing.
Got you.
But you ain't got yourself on payroll anyways. Well, let your business buy it, right?
Right.
So there's a lack of knowledge.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Yeah, bro. Like, there's just a lack of knowledge. People really are out here thinking they have $1 million companies. Literally, I've seen it multiple times, man.
Mm-hmm.
Their businesses did 3.8, you know, or did $500,000 this year, and oh, I can't buy no house though. I'm like, who told you that? You know? So it's the lack of knowledge. There are lenders who will lend to the entrepreneur.
That's what's up.
It's what you know. It's you get it? Speaking of, if you are one of those entrepreneurs, and if you are looking to buy a home, go ahead and reach out to me.
What's them socials, man? What's them socials?
Know. Go ahead and get at my Instagram, Travaris Royale. That's R-O-Y-A-L-E. Or you can get at me at Real Estate with Trey, T-R-E. That's how you spell Trey.
Okay.
But those are my two socials. You can call me at 210-421-0215.
Say that one more time.
210-421-0215. Or shoot me an email at realestatewithtrey@gmail.com.
Got it.
But it's the lack of knowledge. But like I said earlier, it's about who you know.
Right, right.
It's never like what you know. I say lack of knowledge.
What you know and what you do and what they...
What you're given.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always a way. There's always a way. And there's always more than one way to get to whatever your destination
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
So if you... A lot of us won't get out of our own way. We're our biggest roadblock, you know? So
yeah.
we sit here and tell ourselves, oh, I can't do this, or I can't go out here and meet these people, or no one's going to help. Like, you know, this, get out your own way.
Yeah.
Go have a conversation with somebody.
Exactly.
Get yourself out of that environment. A lot of us just in bad environments, you know?
Man, and it's crazy, like, when I went to Puerto Rico, one of the biggest things that's been, like, I mean, thriving in my brain
mm-hmm.
is, in my heart, really... We went up there, we go to the center of, like, the heart of Puerto Rico. Not the beach, not the exterior where the airport and all that stuff at, but in the middle of it. Mountains and everything, right? It's more like rainforest-like. And when we get there, the guy's telling me that we're on a 300-acre of land. 300 acres of land. Huge. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, we grow our own bananas, we grow our own coffee, we grow our own chocolate. And we grow the chocolate with the beans so they have the chocolate flavor. The beans have a chocolate flavor. The beans and the banana, and it drops, it gives it the... And I'm like, yo, this is... Yo, my mind is blown.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Right, that's
so
crazy.
I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So then, like, after all of that, he's saying all this stuff. The thing that comes to mind, I'm like, where am I, right? And why can you do coffee beans here and I can't do it in San Antonio? Which is common knowledge for everybody. You can't grow everything everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, there's certain places and environments where people thrive just like plants do.
Because
yep. we take that coffee bean joint and bring it here, it ain't going to do well.
Not every plant is a house plant.
Nah, not every plant is a house plant. You know what I'm saying? Not every pet is a house pet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I want a tiger.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
All right,
cool. You know what I mean? But, like, it's just so crazy, like, how, like, when you find yourself in the right city, you know what I'm saying, like places like San Antonio, you might be able to thrive here. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Yep.
So, like, definitely, man, if anybody is trying to come to San Antonio from whatever region you're in, you listen, because we got people in Seattle, D.C., Germany, France, you know what I mean, California is listening. So, if you are trying to come to San Antonio, one of the number one places to come, please give my man a holler. And, bro, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, bro, I really appreciate your time. Most valuable thing we got in the world. You know what I'm saying? And I want you to know that you are definitely a vessel that's bringing heaven on earth. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that.
Through loving, through giving, through forgiving, and just working his principles and living the word and not talking about it. You know what I'm saying? And it's a pleasure to see the fruit that your parents put in you and that God put in you as well through other people. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you coming on the show, bro.
Appreciate it, man.
You know
Thanks
what I'm saying?
For having me. Thank you for having me.
Every day is a good day, man. We just got to find out what's good in it, man. I hope we made sense so we can make change. Love you guys, man. And see y'all next week. Peace. And thank you.
Peace.
I hate to be the pallbearer of bad news, y'all, but that's the end of the show. I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in to Can I Listen? If you like what you hear, please, man, leave us a review on any platform that you listen to us on. And follow and subscribe. That helps us get to a bigger audience. And if God brings somebody to your attention while you were listening to the show, please share it with them. Love you guys. Peace. Can't wait to see you next week. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah.
Baby. Listen to me. Yo, what's happening? This is your man, Monroe the Message. This is Can I Listen?
Yes, you can! Hey, y'all, if y'all want to hear the good news, man, check out my baby show and the homie, Yachty. Matter of fact, I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm going to let them tell you about it.
Hello. This is Fran. This is Yavi.
And we are the Midtown Misfits, and we wanted to invite you to listen to our podcast.
It's a Christian-based podcast where we get teachy and not preachy.
The goal of our podcast is to give a normal, non-Kool-Aid perspective about Christianity.
We discuss a range of topics, such as the names of God, spiritual disciplines, and debunking Christian myths.
So if that sounds good to you, come be a misfit, leave the Kool-Aid behind, and subscribe.